Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Duluth Rundown, a podcast focused on the local Twin Ports running scene. My name is Tony Stensland with Tony Stensland Coaching.
And I am Mike Ward with Duluth Timing and Events.
All right, quick thank you before we get started to our sponsor of this episode, Austin Jarrow, Duluth's original running store. That's the place to get your running shoes. Great advice from all the people that work up there. Check out their website, austin-jarrow.com. They are also on Facebook and Instagram. Drive on up to their location on Central Entrance, just on the other side of where the Home Depot is, but on the other side of the road. Or give them a call, 218-722-1185. Thanks so much to Austin Jarrow. And hello, everyone, on a glorious summer day, Sunday. What is it, June 14th?
I think. 14th it is, yeah.
Welcome to the Duluth Rundown podcast.
Yeah.
Mike, how are you?
Yeah, great. Yeah. Great. Real good.
Good.
Yeah. How about you?
Doing well. Yeah. Good. I'm happy that it's, I think maybe we talked about this, and I get real grouchy in April and May because the weather's so bad, and I just have had enough. I want to be outside doing things, and it's like, it's here now, and
we're back.
Nice. Yeah.
It is so nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm spending some outside time and it's doing things. It's been fun.
A sign of the season, Tony, is the, races. We got so many.
Yes.
So should we just hop right into it?
Let's talk about some races.
Great. Well, let's start with the NMTC Spring Trail Race Series. We have a couple final race results to talk about, as well as the overall series standings, which is very exciting. Let's start with the second-to-last race, which is the Woodland Run. We had a champion, number one place in the non-binary division is Samantha Fry. First place in the women's division, Lily Hubanks. And then first place in the men's division, Trig Solberg. Next we have results from the finale of the Spring Trail Race Series. That was at the Cloquet Forestry Center, which is a brand new course for this year. The finale was changed due to construction at the historic finale of the spring race at Chester.
Yep.
And I'm curious if the Woodland, or excuse me, if the Cloquet Forestry Center course is going to continue. I thought it was awesome.
Nice.
It was cool. It was a really good venue because there's like lots of like a pavilion area and lots of like seating and stuff, so it worked really good for the potluck.
Yeah.
The course itself was pretty nice. It wasn't really technical or anything. It was kind of like on ski trails.
Okay.
But I mean, beautiful.
Nice.
And I don't know if it's like fully accessible to the public at all times of the year or not. I guess maybe I should look at that, but I believe they have like ski trails out there in the winter and things.
Interesting. But, yeah, I've never been out there.
It was pretty cool. So first place in the Cloquet Forestry Center race in the non-binary division, Samantha Frey. First place in the women's division was Chelsea Youngberg. And then first place in the men's division was Trig Solberg. And let's look at the overall results that we have here. Let me just get to that. Because that is always exciting. Overall standings. I think I can get to this. Bear with me. So the top place finisher was Jordan Gruens on the men's division with 769 points. Pretty commanding lead there. First place in the women's division overall, real close to a perfect score, Chelsea Youngberg. She had all 150s except, I guess, three. So three 350s first place, three second place. Great work, Chelsea. And then in the non-binary division, we have Elle Byrne taking the series lead with 747 points. So Chelsea had 773. and Jordan had 769. So nice work to all the competitors. Actually, the listeners can't see, of course, but you can see my prize.
Yeah.
I got a sweet vase.
Wow, cool.
Vase.
That's really nice.
I'm still unclear how you pronounce vase in Minnesota. Is it vase or vase? My flowers aren't doing so hot anymore, but yeah, that was a really nice prize and just a lot of fun. I wish I meant to get some live interviews, but I kind of forgot. So moving right along, the Going Bananas Run. It's about a 2 mile race in Duluth. This was on the last day of May, or May 30th, anyways. And goofy event, very goofy event. But the first place finisher was Tom Rolick, 23 years old from Duluth, in a 9:10. So very fast in a banana costume. Not exactly sure how that's even possible. First place in the female division, Hannah Nelson from War Road, 11:06. And there were 756 banana costume.
Banana clad runners.
Banana clad finishers, yeah. So cool. Pretty large event for the banana people out there. And then we had, yesterday, the CSM John S. Werner Memorial 5K Run. Camden Thigason won the race.
Nice job, Cam.
Yep, 17 years old from Duluth, 21:14.
Thigason, it's pronounced.
Thigason.
Yep.
Excuse me.
That's all right. It's a
T-H. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. second place overall in first place in the female division is Calla Gilbertson, 35 years old from Duluth, and she finished in 21:36. 73 total finishers there. That's a really fun event up in the Woodland neighborhood here in Duluth. And then we have some results coming in from yesterday as well from the Thunderbird Warrior Challenge, which is a trail race in Bayfield at the Mount Ashwaubee area. So I have not been up there myself in the summertime, but I've heard it's a very scenic, really cool course. Second year event here.
Yeah, I've done some hiking on some of those trails, and it's really nice there.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. First place in the 25K, Andrew Papke Larson. And he took the win with a 1:54.59. And then fifth place overall, first place in the female division is Nicole Yoakum with a 2:16.34. We had 51 people finish the 25K. In the 10K, Mason Kerneva took the win out of Ely, Minnesota, 51:56, fifth place overall. Abby Doherty out of Duluth with a 59:59. In the long race, the 50K, the first place overall out of Oregon, Wisconsin, is Alex White with a 4:43. And then fifth place overall, first place female. This is a theme here. Julia Hertendali from Golden Valley with 5:31. 26 finishers in the 50K. Last race, we have a 5-kilometer version at the Thunderbird Warrior Challenge. And that was one first place overall, first place female, Greta Hart out of Washburn, 17 with a 30:05. Ooh, we had a tie actually. Caden Werner, 18 from Washburn, was the first male finisher, second overall with a 30:05 as well. Mm-hmm. So cool. This does not show fractions of a second. So we don't know exactly the times, but Greta, according to the chip timing, came in first, 68 finishers in the 5K. So maybe 100, 200, wasn't doing math there, but looks like a decent showing for the second year event there. And that wraps up our race results. And now we have a long list of upcoming races, but let's start with the granddaddy, or the grandmother of them all, rather, Grandma's Marathon. So we have a suite of races, the William A. Irvin 5K, Gary Bjorklund Half Marathon, and of course, the 50th anniversary Grandma's Marathon. Those are coming up on Friday and Saturday, June 19th and 20th. Next after that, the Midnight Sun Midnight Run, which is a 5K, kind of a zany event as well. That is Friday night, June 26th. It starts at midnight, which is technically Saturday, but I like to say it's Friday night. Just a little bit easier. We got a couple 4th of July races. The Lake Nebagamon Dragon Tail 5 Mile is back on, so that's really exciting. That is on July 4th, which happens to fall on a Saturday. We also have the 4th of July Classic, the Sawdust 5K in Cloquet, Minnesota. And then just busy, busy, busy with races. Sidewalk Shuffle, that is in Duluth on the Lake Walk, Wednesday, July 8th at noon. If you have a job, maybe ask your workplace to sponsor the event. Really fun. They do corporate teams for that as well as individual results. But you and your company might be able to have a little team bonding experience. And it's like a cross-country scoring. So they take like the best times of the team and they're awarded. It's pretty neat. Eugene Curnow Trail Marathon shortly thereafter. That is on Saturday, July 11th. We have the Park Point 5-miler, part of the Grandma's Marathon Young Athletes Foundation suite of races. That is on Thursday, July 16th, and that's in the evening, maybe 6 o'clock, somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. And then finally, last but certainly not least, the Run with the Hounds, July 18th, which is a wonderful fundraiser for Duluth East.
Yeah.
Cross-country and track teams.
Yep, 5K trail race at Snowflake.
Yep, so Snowflake right outside of Duluth on Rice Lake Road. So,
yep,
just short drive from downtown. So you can search for all of those online. We gave you the dates, but registration is open for most of them. Well, not Grandma's, but most other ones, and go check those out. Moving right along, trail conditions. What do you think out there, Tony?
I mean, it's got to be dry, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, everywhere, essentially.
Yeah. I mean, we had a pretty rainy week last week. But,
yeah, we did.
You know, I was in Chester, for instance, which is notoriously really fast to dry out. And it was fantastic conditions all week.
Yeah.
I can't really imagine that. I mean, it's been dry, though, to your point. And so even if we get the rain, it soaks right on in.
Yep.
I was on the Superior Hiking Trail way up north last weekend.
Okay.
Kind of before the rains, you know, of course. But it was just so good. Mm. So good.
Nice.
So, you know, I think the one thing to note is foliage, you know, trees and branches are starting to grow in. So some trails, if they're not really well maintained, might be kind of itchy to go through, I guess.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just me bushwhacking too much or something, but I have found so many ticks on me this year. So when I was on the Superior Hiking Trail, granted I was doing a lot of trail work, so I was like in the brush, but found a couple ticks there. I just found a lot of ticks this year. So
yeah, I've had two already and I don't normally get a lot of them, but yeah.
Right. I think, you know, like in town, in Duluth here on the Superior Hiking Trail or any other, you know, Cogs Trail or something, you're probably not going to find any. But if you get out into the bush, definitely keep that in consideration. Where was I where I was being surrounded? Oh, it was for work. I was in kind of southern Wisconsin a little bit. And it's on a gravel road. The deer flies were just obscene.
Yeah.
It was like a horror movie.
We were dealing with those today a little bit in our bike ride.
Yep.
I looked down at my head unit on my bike and we were going 21.6 miles an hour.
No.
And they were right with us.
Wow.
I couldn't believe it.
They're getting stronger.
Yeah.
They're getting stronger.
Those
and
little
faster.
Bodies fly that fast.
Yeah. Let's move right along to Coach's Corner. What can you impart on the people?
The only thing I want to say is to, you know, all the grandma's runners out there, good luck. I hope it goes great. I know you're all watching the weather 2 or 3 times a day. obviously that's something that you can't control. And we've talked about this a little bit in my training group. Like, you can have actually the best race of your life and not have it be a PR. Mm. So just if the weather doesn't work out, which it looks like it's going to be pretty good so far, but for whatever reason, if the weather doesn't work out, you can still have a really good race. You race it smart, you race it tough.
Mm-hmm.
Good things can still happen. So it's not always about the time. So
yeah.
What's that weather showing right now, Mike?
All right, so I just looked it up with the weather. We got a stiff tailwind forecast.
I'm hearing
northeast.
The wind has switched to the east, so that's good.
Northeast, 13 miles an hour.
Yeah.
However, we have for Saturday right now a thick cloud cover with steady rain becoming intermittent.
Yeah.
64 degrees is the high. The overnight low from Friday to Saturday is 46. So it could be, mm-hmm. I mean, great running conditions, but maybe a little challenging if it's like heavy rain.
Yeah.
It doesn't, I guess steady rain doesn't necessarily mean heavy
rain. Does it
say
humidity on there?
80% relative humidity.
Yeah, that's the only bad thing I've seen in the weather so far. The tailwind good, cloud cover good, temperature's decent enough, but humidity high. Rain, yeah. I don't think it actually is going to slow anybody down. I don't think rain matters a whole lot.
Yeah.
It's worse for the spectators, actually. But,
right.
But the humidity potentially can. So, yeah.
And, like, that's a question, too. Like, when does it rain? Like, it can be kind of nice mm-hmm. when it's, like, a little sprinkly, like, on the before or after.
Yeah.
This is what AccuWeather.com. It says hours of rain, 3.5. So...
3.5 hours.
Hours.
Of rain.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean,
yeah.
Obviously, that's going to change quite a bit. Yeah. And what's also interesting is Sunday looks, you know, 68 high intervals of cloud and sunshine. Friday, cool, 63 of a high sunshine. So, mm-hmm. I mean, that could shift so easily.
Absolutely. Yeah. It certainly can. So, we'll see. But yeah. I guess I wouldn't fret too much about the weather if I were the runners out there.
Yeah.
Because your fitness is fitness and it's not going to be better or worse because of the weather. So
right.
The work that you put in will pay off. So yeah, my thought is, you know, obviously don't do anything new race day, but really don't do a whole lot new per se on the Thursday and Friday leading up to the races, maybe other than carbo load and trying to get some extra sleep if possible. It's not that you can sort of bank it to save, but just to be rested
mm-hmm.
is always a good thing and kind of de-stress a touch if you can.
Mm-hmm.
Like I say, carbo load and kind of make sure you're well hydrated in the day 2 days prior. So that might be, I guess, quote unquote, different from normal, but you're doing that on purpose to try to store up some stuff.
Yeah.
And then race day, the classic approach of kind of going out a little bit more controlled and relatively easy is still the best way. And I think particularly with grandmas as well. I find grandmas to be deceptively hard in one way because there's so little elevation that I think trying to sometimes run more of that even pace approach. I don't know. I was never really very good at that. I was always better if I went out a little slow and then moved up from there. And I think most people work well that way. Some people do better with like that even pace. And so if you're one of those, I guess ignore everything I'm saying, that's fine. But I just think that's more challenging sometimes when it's a relatively flat
sure.
course.
Right.
But anyway, that's just my thought about going out a little bit more.
Is it because like the lack of variation and elevation beats up the legs more?
That's my thought. And other people have kind of said that same thing. It's just that, that continuous sameness of hours of that rather than changing things up.
Right.
Like if Lemon Drop happened at mile 12 or something, that might be a good thing. Because in a hill like Lemon Drop, you go up it, but then you come back down it. And then, that change
mm-hmm.
at mile 12 of the marathon would be, I think, almost beneficial to sort of just break up the monotony of it
a little bit.
We had that, one little hill 10K in around Knife River when you go around the curve.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit kind of going down into town where the river, then you cross the river and you climb. And then there's one more little up around that curve underneath the railroad bridge. To me, when I was running Grandma's, I always liked those sections. It's like, something feels different here for this,
right.
I don't know, 10-minute stretch, 5-minute stretch or whatever that you're
the
in
downhill.
There. Just to change up.
Right.
But then it's just lock in now for miles and miles and miles with very little variation.
Yeah.
To me, that was always deceptively challenging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What would you recommend to maybe some of our listeners, you know, in the theme of Grandma's Marathon preparation coming up here? Morning of, like, I have my kind of routine. For instance, I like to like foam roll.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it makes any difference, but it's just like my thing. I like to like eat oatmeal first thing, have a little bit of coffee,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, really I want my stomach pretty empty.
Yeah. Yeah. I think by now most runners have figured that out at this point in their training, I would hope,
yeah.
with all their 20 milers and long runs on the weekends. So I would just stick whatever you have discovered has worked. Yeah. Foam rolling. Some people really do that a lot, prior to a run or race itself. Oatmeal is a classic one. We were just discussing that today. Oatmeal for me, peanut butter toast, bagels, those kinds of things. Those are kind of my three go-tos, not all at once, but between one of those three, prior to races. I really like, especially oatmeal to me, I load it up with like brown sugar and walnuts and bananas and blueberries. Mm-hmm. Like I call it superhero oatmeal.
Yeah.
So I just put like extra things in there.
Yeah.
So that's how I did the oatmeal. The night before, obviously pasta is the popular choice and has been for pretty much ever.
Yeah.
With the carbs. I always liked a cheese pizza, but not everybody can handle the dairy, you know, aspect of it, and that's fine. But for me, that worked out pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I was signed up for the half, and I I ate a large burrito the night before, and I wasn't really thinking. And I woke up in the morning just like, I can feel this burrito.
Yeah.
Is this what it feels like to be pregnant? I don't know. But you know, that was like, I made a mistake.
Yeah.
Last night. I'm just not thinking. So like ever since then, I've been really mindful.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Night before, you know, it's like, how much time does it take to flush that out of the system, so to speak?
Right. Right. Well, by about mile 5, probably.
Yep. Mile 6, technically.
Yeah. But, was it? Yeah.
No,
I was
close. No, I don't remember. Yeah, so that's going to be fun. And
yeah, Grandma's is great. I'm looking forward to watching.
Yeah,
for all the listeners who know me, whether you're in my training group or just know me, I'll be down London Road around 32nd Avenue East, right towards the end of the Glen Sheen stretch before Lemon Drop.
Worst part of the race.
Yeah. Well, you know, that as I've been stationed there for a handful of years now, that there's more and more spectators in that section now.
I believe it.
When I was running it, there were far fewer
yeah.
along that stretch. So that's why I went there in the first place. I think that's a good spot for me to be
yeah.
because it's often a little lonely down there.
Huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think actually like right at the old folks home or 40th Avenue yeah. East is yep. the worst
because
it's this like false uphill and you can't really see Lemon Drop.
Yeah.
At least by like Glen Sheen, when you kind of turn that corner, you can see it and you know
yeah.
it's kind of the worst.
Another like, thing about that 40th that you're talking about
yeah.
is it's sunny there. If
yeah,
it's a sunny day,
yeah.
there are no trees on that lakeside. And
yeah.
Yeah, that can be a hot section.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
of course,
hot,
it's different now as the roundabout's starting to...
Oh, I suppose.
I mean, it's not there yet, but it's going to be. And so the construction has made it look a little different.
Yeah. And yeah. are you going to be at the expo or what's your plan?
Yeah, I will be. I will definitely be there probably Thursday. I'm going to be down Friday watching the William A. Irvin as well. So I'll probably pop into the expo either before or after
mm-hmm.
that race. Yeah. So looking forward to it.
Yeah. I'm a course captain for the William A. Irvin 5K.
Nice.
So I'll be on the course the whole race and then, yeah, running. So
cool.
It'll be a fun weekend. We will be down there representing. Mm-hmm. Do we have press badges yet? No, we don't.
I didn't apply this year.
Oh, okay.
We could have.
We could. I mean, I could like 3D print some press badges. But, you know, we might get them confiscated. We'll see. Good luck to everyone running. That's going to be fun. Moving right along, route of the week. I wanted to talk about my favorite route of this week, which is Chester Park.
Chester, really?
Yep. Yeah. I've only said this 1,000,000,000 other times on the podcast.
I always kind of laugh about our route of the week ones because I have like it's, oh, guess what? It's Hartley.
Yeah. Yeah. So kind of boring. Sorry. I mean, our reader or our listeners can send in their Root of the Week too if they're bored of my Root of the Week.
Particularly if it's like not in Duluth, that'd be nice to hear.
Yeah.
I would like to hear that actually.
Yeah. Like in Cloquet.
Send us
or
an email. Give us a GPX file.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
We'll vet it. We'll run it. We'll see if it's cool or not. No, I'm in love with the Chester Loop. I mean, trail season is on. It's just so fun. It's so accessible for me personally because I live close to it. But really my all-time favorite, and I'm so excited we're getting into the season, is I do the kind of this full loop in Chester. Mm-hmm. It's like maybe about 5 miles, 4.5, something like that.
Okay.
Like the lower section, all the ski trails on the upper section. And then I go straight down from there to Leif Erikson Park, and I jump in the lake.
Nice.
And I know it's cold, but I think about it every run. Like, I should just go. Like, no, it's too cold in the lake. I shouldn't go. It's not even fun. But then it's just like, I got to go. I got to go. I'm drawn to it. And, like, today I dipped my big toe in. Like, nope. Like, no, just do it. It's just so bone-chilling cold. But
so down at Leif Erikson down there, I'm assuming you don't like literally jump in the lake because it's kind of shallow and rocky. I'm assuming you more like kind of walk in a little.
Yeah, I'll hit my stomach on the floor, just like dunking.
Okay. You know, yeah, so you're kind of like doing a push up almost.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, later in the season,
because there's not. Yeah, you need a spot would be great if it was warm enough where you could literally like launch off of a rock.
Yeah. And like in July when it warms up, it's just so great because you can just. You go out, it drops off really fast at Leif Erikson.
Okay.
So you can go out like 10 feet and you can't touch anymore.
Okay.
And then go in a foot and you can
touch.
So yeah, just like treading water out there. Oh, and if it's like 90 degrees and humid, it's just the best.
So then do you just walk back home or jog back home?
Yeah, just jog back, sopping wet. Yeah. It's kind of funny. So
yeah, sweet.
Yeah, that's my favorite. And it probably will be all summer. So
that sounds like a great route, to be honest with you. We should talk about that next month.
You know what? Yeah. We should. Let's make a point to do that. Yeah. Thoughts on the run. Our next segment here. This is why we invented this segment, because it's just stuff pops into your head when you're running. It's like, this is maybe not a great subject to talk about. I don't know. I think it's awkward, but let's just talk about it. Running shirtless, like as a man. Or a male, or, you know, or whatever. Like, you see dudes running shirtless all the time. It would be like illegal, I guess, for women to run shirtless. Is it fair for men to run shirtless?
No.
Does anyone want to see that?
No, it's not fair.
But like, it is nice sometimes. Like, it feels good. But I feel wrong doing it for that fact. Like, it's just not fair, you know. A and B, it's like no one wants to see that. Just put on your shirt, Mike. It's not that big of a deal. It's not like that uncomfortable or anything. Just put on your shirt. I don't know.
I'm always I find it like the young guys, especially like the UMD teams or those classic, like the young kids, like it'll be like 45 and sunny and they're out there shirtless. I'm like, guys, come on now. I mean, whatever. If they're warm or whatever they want to, I guess go for it. But
yeah.
For me, back in the day, if I went shirtless, it would definitely have to have been a hot and sunny day.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I think like the long sleeve white tech tee is almost cooler.
Well, I'm seeing that more and more often.
Yeah.
Too. People are doing that as a sun protection. And
and
it's really not that much warmer anyway.
I think it's
like
cooler.
You say, it might even be cooler, yeah.
Especially if you get some water on it, you know, like it's cooler.
Yeah.
It just bright white reflects it, you know. Plus, the sun protection, like nothing feels warmer than having like a raging sunburn.
Right. Right. Then you're warm not doing anything.
Yeah, right.
Just sitting on the couch, you're warm.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I'm curious. I mean, I see people, like, dudes running, and it's not like I'm like, come on, you know? But then me, myself, I'm like, I don't really feel super comfortable doing it, but I do still sometimes.
It's really interesting, too. Like, sometimes neighborhood people who are not runners will get some complaints if the high school team, like, the boys are out there in, like, August and, you know, cross-country practice, if they're running shirtless. And generally, the rule is like off of campus, I think most schools are the same way. Off campus, it's okay. But then sometimes people who live in the neighborhood don't like that for whatever, who knows why.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, do you complain about every person who runs shirtless, or is it just high school kids? Cause you feel like you can boss them around a little bit. I don't know what's going on with that.
Yeah.
But it does. I feel like it's a discussion we have with the team once every year.
Sure.
Yeah. Huh. And it's not really, I mean, they're not in trouble from us at all, but
yeah. Yeah. I mean, just curious from our listeners too, you know, what's your stance on the matter? Like, are you a shirtless runner? Do you care? You know, just, yeah, send us a little note. Moving right along, we got some shout outs here. I got one that I added that we did not discuss, but why don't you go first?
Okay, I'll go first. I wanted to shout out Dave Dog, Mr. Dave Lane.
Sir Dave.
Sir Dave.
Sir Dave Lane, knighted in the UK. I don't think so, but
he was awarded the from Grandma's Marathon, the 2026 Award of Excellence. For all his work that he does at every single Grandma's race.
Yes.
Grandma's and YAF race for however many years now. And he runs the race as well.
Right.
So the email came out a couple of weeks ago. He is just like so deserving,
so deserving
of that award. He's a wonderful human, and I was super happy to see that he got that. So shout out to Dave Lane.
Yeah. Yeah, Dave is awesome. I mean, he's just such a hard worker.
Yeah.
And hilarious.
Yeah.
I mean, every time I see him, he's just a beam of positivity.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so funny. He always just has these kind of dry humor jokes, you know?
Yeah.
And and just a bank of knowledge. I mean, he's been doing it forever, you know? So it's really fun working with him. Anytime that I can... as we call it in the industry, sling barricade.
Okay.
And otherwise known as lifting barricade from point to point.
Okay.
Anytime I can lift barricade with Dave, I'm having a good time.
Nice.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Big props, Dave Lane. Thank you for all your efforts. I wanted to highlight, the Hoops Running Club, because there is going to be a fun little, pop-up Grandma's Marathon spectating area at Blacklist Brewing.
Oh, cool.
And I just wanted to do a quick little shout out for that if I can. Yes, it is Saturday, 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Blacklist Brewing. There is free coffee from Almanac Coffee, free scones from Dovetail Cafe, free cookies from Third Street Bakery, free sign making, noise makers, all types of fun stuff. It is sponsored by A6 Montecos and Tortoise and Hare Footwear, but of course Hoops Running Club, which meets at Blacklist Brewing every Thursday at 6, is putting it on. I am an avid member of the Hoops Running Club, so I just wanted to do a quick shout out for that. If you're looking for a nice spectating spot, that's right on the course. So
nice. Are you guys meeting? I'm just curious. Are you guys meeting the Thursday before the race?
Yes. Yeah. Yep. So that's really fun. Actually, last year, it's kind of pegged as the Grandma's Marathon shakeout, but, you know, even like last year to this year, I've noticed, a bigger and bigger group, which is fun. Sometimes there's 40 people, which is just wild. But there's always just some random people that have never been to the group cause they live in Kentucky or something.
Sure. Yes.
Canada.
Yes.
So yeah, I think people hear about it and show up. So, you know, if you're a first timer, this is probably the best time to show up. Like if you live in Duluth, cause there's going to be lots of other first timers.
Yeah, absolutely.
But also, it's a big group run and it's fun. So
that's sweet.
Yeah. I'm going to actually miss it, the run. Cause, for the William A. Irvin course captain meeting.
Oh, there's a meeting on Thursday.
But for everyone else, check that out. The shakeout run on Thursday at 6. And then of course, if you're looking to find a good spot to spectate, a lot of little freebies and a lot of energy right down there at Blacklist Brewing. Which concludes our rundown section of episode 94 here. Anything else, Tony, that we're missing? Or
no, I don't think so. But just one last good luck for everybody running Grandma's. That's for sure.
We will see
you out there.
Including
you, Mike.
Yeah. Thanks.
All right, and that wraps up our rundown portion of the latest episode of the Duluth Rundown Podcast. Our plan is to release this one pre-Grammys, because since we talked advice of Grammys and things of that nature. And then our interview portion, which we normally follow up with, we're going to do that after Grammys. Our plan is to get some pre-race interviews, potentially some during-race interviews, and some post-race interviews as well, and then put that out there as our interview section.